I'm going to talk about resurrection today. We are just days past celebrating, obviously, the most important event in Christianity, and that's the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. And this is the resurrection that truly changed everything for us. It's the event that's the basis of our beliefs, the very foundation of the eternal salvation that we have. That's what it's built on. It's built on this resurrection. And this week, we also have a resurrection in our lesson. So I'm a little slow sometimes, but this one kind of hit me over the head. This is what I was supposed to talk about. So today we're talking about resurrection. Now, to begin, y'all know I often like to have a definition so that we're all on the same page. I found two definitions for resurrection, and I'm going to use both of them. The first definition is the one that comes to mind for me when I hear the word resurrection, and that is the act or fact of bringing someone back to life. In other words, something that has literally died is being brought back to life. And obviously, Jesus' resurrection from the dead is the perfect example of this resurrection. And in the story this week, we see that Jesus resurrected Lazarus. And the power of Jesus, who called on the Father during that resurrection time, is that resurrection power, right? He's the only one who can do that. Here's a man who's been dead for 4 days, and the next thing you know, he walks out of the tomb. It was a miracle, right? But it was so much more. Resurrection is a return to life. And he's the only power behind that return. He's also the creator of that life that Lazarus returned to. He's the creator of our eternal life. And, you know, we have in our prayer about the resurrection of the dead and life of the world to come. And Jesus is the originator of both of those things. He's the foundation of our hope in eternal life with him. And this is the Easter story that we just celebrated. So that's the first definition. I think that's the most obvious definition. But there's a second definition that I read that I wanted to focus on this morning. And it says it is the act of bringing something that had disappeared or ended back into existence. So this is not necessarily describing literal death. It's more like it's describing something that needs to be restored. Maybe you've heard something like, that role resurrected her acting career. Or maybe you have an old piece of furniture that you refinish and you consider it that's being brought back to life. That's what this resurrection is about. It's about rejuvenation, revitalizing, just sort of reanimating almost. So I was thinking about this idea that we have the resurrection power of Jesus in us. Because in Ephesians, Paul prays that we would know the immeasurable greatness of God's power for us who believe. That's in chapter 1, verse 19. We know that through Jesus, we have access to the Father. But what exactly does this mean for us? As I said, the first and most important resurrection we have as Christians happens when we accept Jesus. That is the moment that everything changes for us, that trust that we put in him. That's the moment that our sins are forgiven and we are saved for an eternal life. We pass from spiritual death before knowing Jesus into a eternal life. We're declared not guilty. And so that is going to be our most important resurrection as Christians. But there's more. We know that even though we have been saved, and even though we are cleansed by the blood of Jesus, we are still not perfect. Far from it, usually. And that's where Jesus's resurrection power can continue to restore us. We've seen this happen over and over again this year in the study of all these women. The restoration happens when they recognize that they're unable to do something on their own, and they do it with the power of God in the Old Testament, powers of Jesus in the New Testament. And it's our faith in him that gives us the strength to do what we can't do on our own. Now, this week we see that in Martha's transformation. She's like this, in the first story, she's like this overwrought, self-motivated, anxious worker. And at the end of the lesson, we see her as she's calmed down, right? And she has her heart in the right place. She has her heart in the place of serving Jesus. And she's transformed. So she's had a resurrection in that instance. We saw resurrection power in the woman caught in adultery. We saw it in the sinful woman who anointed Jesus. We saw in the widow of Zarephath. I mean, it was just over and over and over again. All of these women were transformed in some way, not their own power, but by the power of Jesus. Now, there's a flip side to these resurrection stories that we've also seen this year in these women. And that's the women who counted on their own power. The most obvious one that sprang to mind for me this year was Jezebel. That was a disastrous story that she counted on her own power and misused her own power and had a pretty gruesome ending to her life. So here's my thought. We all have something, or maybe some things, multiple things, that we need to be freed from, that we need to be resurrected from, that we need to be rejuvenated from. It might be something as simple as a bad attitude you have that you just can't seem to get past. It may be something much more serious like an addiction. But whatever it is, the first step is realizing that you don't have the power to fix it on your own, that you need to rely on that resurrection power of Jesus. Because when you do, that's when everything changes. We are not strong enough, as much as we think we are, we are not strong enough to do things without his help. So tap into that resurrection power of Jesus. Spend some time thinking about this. What do you need to be released from? What do you need to gain new life over? And take it to Jesus. Take it to the throne. And then look forward to living a life that is renewed, rejuvenated, and resurrected by the love of Jesus, our one true Savior. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for resurrection power. First, the resurrection power that saved us, that conquered sin and death, and that leads to eternal life with you, a gift that's beyond our comprehension. And we thank you that your power is accessible to us through Jesus Christ. When we come to him and rely on him, he carries us. And that's a power that we all need. I ask today, Father, that as we go into our small groups and connect with the stories that you have given us in Scripture, that we remember ultimately who they're about, and that everything we say and do today be to your glory. And in your son's name I pray. Amen.